Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Enjoy a tall, cool dude.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands. I discovered I was great at raging, and it revealed wonderful things about myself. I could relate to bros regardless of what kind of bro they were. I could be at a party and moon people and everyone would laugh, you know, be witty. Or I could play beer pong and compete with real integrity. In short, I fulfilled my potential.
The Nightcap on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Busy, busy day. The Nightcap, Joe DiBiase and Kyle Powell here on WGR. Ton of things were happening today. I showed up to work and, you know, generally, because I'm used to the summer, it's like, oh, nothing's happening. There's baseball scores. There's, you know, a little bit of World Cup this summer and not much else. And today it was like we had the Bills practicing. We had the Sabres showing up to training camp. We had Erik Karlsson being traded to the San Jose Sharks. How are the Ottawa Senators going to play hockey this season in the NHL?
And still doing business with the Sharks.
Right. They just got screwed over by this team. Like 2 months ago. The Ottawa Senators shipped Hoffman to the Sharks, and they flipped him for more minutes later to the Florida Panthers. Well, give Ottawa a little bit of credit. They at least, the Hoffman clause has been a thing out there. They're not allowing the Sharks essentially to trade Karlsson East this season unless they get another first round pick. But wow, I used them as an example over the summer for the Sabres who showed up today. I'm gonna talk a little bit of hockey, we'll talk a little bit of everything. So if you want to call in with anything on Josh Allen and the Bills this week against the Chargers, we'll talk a little football later on in the show, but haven't had much of an opportunity to talk hockey, so I'm gonna take this opportunity to do it. All summer, towards the end of the year, the only thing I could really hinge my cap on that wasn't getting Rasmus Dahlin, before that even happened, the only positive I took out of that season was, hey, you could be Ottawa. You could be Ottawa. They're the same thing. They're a disaster. They were awful last year. You each got a superstar player. Their superstar player is, what, 28 years old? Ours is 22. Ours is under contract for 10 years. Theirs is under contract for one more year. That was where I was like, okay, you could be Ottawa. That would be much worse than where you're at right now. Now look where those two teams are. It's not that the Sabres are going to be any Stanley Cup contender this year, I don't think. But there's reason for hope here. You have Skinner in the fold. You just lucked into Rasmus Dahlin, which is a huge turning point for this franchise. And Ottawa, I mean, even 2 seconds ago, Jean-Gabriel Pageau is a pretty good player. Not great, but pretty good. He's one of the best players they have left on the team. He's out for 4 to 6 months with an injury. Who is going to be on that roster? They traded Erik Karlsson, and I hope that a team of ours never gets in a spot like this again, and it will happen. But you'd get a bunch. Basically, you get, I don't know, a bunch of pennies on the dollar. A bunch of pennies on the dollar. I couldn't tell you much about any one of those players that the Ottawa Senators acquired. When you're trading arguably the best defenseman in the league, shouldn't you be getting back a star player at least? It's been a weird trade market this offseason. Even for the Sabres. Excuse me. Sabres end up getting Skinner for almost nothing. And it seems like the Karlsson trade was just that magnified. Sabres showed up today, though. Maybe we'll play back Jack Eichel a little bit later in the show. He was good today. He met with the media. As Sabres reported to camp today, they'll be on the ice tomorrow. He does not have the C as of now. Phil Housley said we'll kind of wait and see approach on that. Maybe they don't have a captain again. Maybe Eichel gets named captain. I can't imagine anybody else on the team gets named captain. I am excited for the hockey season because I'm hopeful, and there's reason to be hopeful, that the Sabres could be good this year. And leading up to the Bills season, it was a fight between people who thought that they were going to be terrible, people who seemed to know what they were talking about, national media, some of us here at the station, some fans, versus mainly fans, because you didn't really hear a lot of people in the national media saying this, that the Bills were going to be great. You really only heard that from a sector of fans. And through week one, it looked exactly like I think a lot of smart people thought it was going to look like, them being terrible. I never really built up the excitement for this Bills season because I didn't expect it to be much, and I know it's only 1 week in, but it does not look like it's going to be much. It looks like you're going to be drafting at the top of the draft. Whereas the Sabres, yeah, I would not pick them to make the playoffs right now. But last year was the toughest season that I've ever gone through. Because there was modest expectations. Let's look for improvement. And they hit rock bottom again. They hit rock bottom. So this year, yeah, we're going in with expectations again. Modest expectations. But at least now, you've got some young players that you can hope for. Mittelstadt, Dahlin especially. Instead of, oh, can Zemgus Girgensons become a second-line player? Because we kind of need him to. Can Ryan O'Reilly be a better player than he's been for 8 years in a row? That was never realistic to me. Now, there's upside. And that's exciting. It's exciting to at least have upside. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Let's go to Ted. Ted, you're on the nightcap. What's up?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a hockey fan, but, you know, you're talking about Ottawa and Buffalo. You know, when you're a Buffalo Sabre fan, you really have no business talking down about any other team in the league because this Sabre.
I think every fan base has business talking down about the Ottawa Senators right now. All of them.
I disagree. Not when you're the worst team in hockey. Not when you're a team that tanks and the fans cheer about them tanking.
Yeah. That was smart.
That's appalling. That's why free agents don't want to come here. That's why players don't want to come here. The fans cheered for this team to tank, and they did. And you're talking.
I wish free agents didn't want to come here because when Kyle Okposo wanted to come here, when Ville Leino wanted to come here, when Christian Ehrhoff wanted to come here, for the most part, free agent signings don't often work on every team.
You're right.
That's a fact.
Right. I don't disagree with you there, but you're trying to build something here, and you're talking down about another hockey team.
Wait, let me ask you, Ted, what reason would the Ottawa Senators give me for not talking down about them? What have they done that would give any Senators fan or any hockey fan confidence that they are going to be a good team this year? They have torn it down.
Regardless of where Ottawa ends up, at this point, they're still better than what we have here.
No, they're not. Oh, my goodness. Come on, Ted. Come on. No, they're not. The Ottawa Senators are not better than... I mean, call me gullible, call me whatever you want in 6 months if it looks that way, but no way. There's just no chance. That team is going to be the worst team in hockey.
Did you see who they had sitting next to Dorian when they were talking about the rebuild video they put on Twitter?
No, I didn't. But
Borowiecki.
Yeah, that guy's not that good. He's like a third-pair defenseman on most teams. He might not even be on... Like Mikhail Bodker we're talking about. Duchesne's nice.
Bodker only got there from San Jose anyway.
Duchesne.
Part of the Hoffman deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Stone and Duchesne.
And they both have 1 year left on their contract.
Yeah. And they want to be centerpieces. That's what they discussed building the team around.
Right. I know where we're coming from Buffalo. We don't have a business talking down to a lot of teams. But I think everybody should be piling on the Senators. Because they don't seem to know what they're doing. You see controversy around the NHL this summer. It involved the Ottawa Senators. It's not even just on the ice stuff. The Carlson, Mike Hoffman locker room thing with the girlfriends. That was in Ottawa. The assistant general manager who was arrested right here in Buffalo. That was Ottawa. They were awful last year, too. The team that traded away arguably the best defenseman in the NHL for a bunch of just stuff. Nothing great, just kind of stuff. That was Ottawa. That organization's a tire fire. The team that has had its owner threatening relocation, that's Ottawa. So, they are not in a better spot than Buffalo is. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Hey, guys. Love Thrash in Ottawa. One thing I don't think you mentioned is that if this team tanks, I don't believe they have their own first-round pick this year.
That's right. You can't even accuse them of tanking because the Avalanche have their first-round pick. I can't believe that slipped my mind. But thank you for bringing that up. How inept that organization is. They have no backup plan if they're bad this year. Because guess what? If they're the worst team in the league, which I think they're probably going to be, then the Avalanche will get the fruits of that labor, not the Senators. And that is unbelievable. That's amazing. They can't even tank. I do like piling on them. Because me growing up as a Sabre fan, in my heyday as a sports fan, as a kid, was that rivalry, the Senators and the Sabres. And there will always be a little place of disdain in my heart for that team. And so, yeah, I will take the opportunity to pile on when I can. 803-0550 is the phone number. I don't really want to have the debate. Is Buffalo in a better spot than the Senators? I don't really think that's much of a debate. I think we could debate how good we think the Sabres are going to be this year. I don't know. Is 85, 86 points too much to ask? I think that's probably what we were talking about last year, which is why it'd be like, you know what? I'll use the Bills again, though, for comparison here. Last year, everybody said the Bills were going to be terrible, right? And they weren't. They were 9-7. This year, everybody said they were going to be terrible. And what was the main argument you heard for why the Bills were not going to be terrible again this year? Well, they all said it last year, and they proved them wrong then, so why can't they prove them wrong now? That was the argument. So, you know, you can almost turn that around in the Sabres too. Everybody said last year they were going to be better, pretty good. Some people had them in the top three in the division. Like national, like writers, like people who know what they're talking about, had them finishing top three in the division. And they were wrong. And now, what would the argument maybe be against them not being better, being improved, being in a playoff hunt? Well, last year they said they were going to do it and they didn't. That doesn't mean that it has to hold up 2 years in a row. Expectations and results don't always have to be consistent. And I don't think it's wrong to put the same expectations on this team that maybe we were hoping for last year, which would be contending for a playoff spot. And I think this hockey team is a lot more likely to be contending for a playoff spot than the football team is. A lot more. And that's why I'm already, like, I'm first opportunity to go here, I'm already wanting to talk about hockey. Because there's a lot of stuff to talk about with the Bills right now. Their highest drafted quarterback ever is about to start a game on Sunday. But that's where they are right now. They're inept at every other position, and they have a lot of people not believing that they're going to do anything this season. And the hockey team's 0-0. So, like, I'm ready for them to start. The football season, the Bills season, unless you see something amazing in the next 3 weeks, if they were to somehow steal two games against three of the most talented teams in the league, then maybe we have something to talk about. But otherwise, it's trending like 2018 for the Bills is going to be a wash. And we're going to be talking about only Allen's progression and what do you do if you're at the top of the draft all season. That seems like that's going to be the majority of conversation if this continues to go this way. And I think it should go that way. Because that team is not talented enough to do what they did last year. You had a perfect recipe last year to make the playoffs for what that roster was. And it was getting turnovers and not turning the football over. And you were not turning the football over because you had a historically good quarterback at that. And that's not there anymore. You put in a historically turnover-prone quarterback, and you see how that went. You see how it goes when he's the quarterback. It's not even close. It's not even a fair fight. And you gotta hope Allen's able to do that. Able to come in and give you some of what you had, along with hopefully some stuff you didn't have too, in terms of the consistent deep passes, throwing over the middle, trusting your arm to make every throw. I loved Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback. Part of it was, I think he was smart enough to know the throws he couldn't make, and that would frustrate people because they wanted him to make them. Allen should never have that, because he can make every throw. So he can get away with a little bit more. That's where that upside should come in. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on anything that we've been talking about here in the first segment. Talking a little bit of Bills, a little bit of Sabres. Talk a little fantasy, too, if we want, ahead of tonight's Thursday night football game. We will have coverage of the Ravens and Bengals starting at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. The Ravens, who the Bills just beat up on. A couple of ways tonight could go. Could be a close game, and then we wouldn't really make any... You wouldn't make a connection between the Bills game and the second Ravens game against the Bengals. But it's funny that these are the two teams, Bengals in the preseason, Ravens in the first week, last week, Sunday. The two teams that have made you think, this season could be bad, this could go rough. What happens if Baltimore crushes Cincinnati? You're going to hear a lot of people saying, well, you see, Baltimore's that good. People will be more optimistic for the Bills this season if Baltimore goes out and spanks Cincinnati. They will. Even maybe I will a little bit. I wouldn't want to take too much out of it, but you'll hear that. And it won't necessarily be wrong. Because, I don't know, maybe the Ravens are just that good. Maybe. Tomorrow, everyone would be more optimistic about them. What happens if the Bengals crush the Ravens? I don't know if you could get lower than the optimism for the Bills season right now. But if the Ravens come out and don't look competitive, or the Ravens come out and get beat up, and I think this game is at Cincinnati. So, and Cincinnati should be pretty good. So that's very possible. Then there is no excuse for why you lost big to Baltimore. None. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get on the conversation. 550-550 is the text line. You can also tweet at me, at SneakyJoeWGR. We'll get back into hockey in the next segment. We're going to hear from Jack Eichel. I really want to say Sabres captain Jack Eichel. Like, that just popped into my mind before the words Jack Eichel came out. Sabres captain Jack Eichel.
Seems inevitable, huh?
It just does. But I don't know if they're going to do it this year. All the photo shoots you see, he's wearing the A. The jersey switch or refund thing that they had when he switched his number. They didn't make him captain then. That would have seemed like a prime opportunity to do that. If
not him, then who?
Then you don't
they can't
have one.
You can't go back to five assistant captains again, can you?
You could do three. You could have Eichel, Bogosian, and
Ristolainen.
I guess. I don't know who would be the third guy. You don't have Georges anymore.
You don't have
O'Reilly anymore. Opozo probably is the answer to this. Opozo.
That would be option three or four.
Pominville. They're names. There are names you can slap the A on if you don't think Eichel's ready to be captain. I don't know. The way he sounded today and how good he is, I don't know. You know, putting the C on him could spark some leadership, too. If you really want him to take control of that locker room, well, for one, you got rid of O'Reilly. And I don't know if they were butting heads in there, or if it's weird if you have two leaders, because O'Reilly was a leader, too. It's Eichel's team now, like 100%. And I wonder if you put the C on him, that can give a guy more confidence to stand up in the room. That can give a guy more right to stand up in the room and call guys out on being accountable. So that can happen. We'll hear from Michael next. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi and Kyle Powell. It's the Nightcap on WGR.
You know, I think we see our potential as a group, and you know, there's plenty of steps that we have to take for it to come to conclusion. But you know, this is step one, and just getting through camp, having a good camp, and coming together as a group, and you know, just being excited to be back playing hockey.
There he is. Hopefully, very soon in the future, Captain Jack Eichel. He's the de facto captain, anyway. We all know he's the leader of the team. We all know it's his team. He met with the media earlier today. We're going to play that back in just a second here. I want to get through a couple of texts, though. One texter brings up how a bunch of places have the Sabres ranked number one in the league in prospects. That's a reason that you're over a team like Ottawa in particular, as a caller thought last segment, that they're in a better place than the Sabres. It's not true. I had one other one in here. What was it? Sick and tired of this organization not having a captain. I don't think it's that important because I don't think you've had a clear answer to that up until now, but I think now it's like, yeah, it's Eichel's time. Like, let's go. Before, can you blame them for not having a captain from before? I can't. I won't. Let's hear from Eichel now. Jack Eichel met with the media earlier today as the Sabres reported for training camp. They will be on the ice tomorrow. You can check that out at Harbor Center. And then the Sabres play at Columbus to open the preseason on Monday at 7. That'll be right here on WGR. Here is Eichel earlier today.
Yeah.
It's all new now, or a lot is new now.
Yeah, it's the start of every season's exciting. Long off season, so been thinking about it for a while. It's nice to get things going. You know, a lot of guys have been back here for a while skating together. I think it's good for us, and but now it's started camp, and you know, you just move along with the process.
Jack, you guys come from a 62-point season. How much does the goal move toward major improvement before you can even start thinking about the playoffs? Or how much does the playoffs enter the mind right away?
Well, I think first you want to create something, right? You want to create something in camp. You want to create a culture. You want to create a new identity as a group. I think last year we've put that behind us at this point. There's a lot of new people in here. I think there's a new mindset. You know, there's a new standard, and I think you'll see a different group, a different group of guys. With the way we conduct ourselves, the way we handle ourselves. And, you know, I think that that's our first goal. Obviously, have a good camp and take it from there. But, you know, like anything, you start with, you know, day one, and you take care of everything along the way. And you know, as I said, it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. But, you know, we're excited. We think we have a lot of good players. We think we're trending in the right direction. So, you know, there's a lot of parity in the NHL, and I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. So, I think it's an exciting time, and I know I'm excited. I know there's a lot of guys in the room that are excited. So, just getting back, getting to play hockey again. I mean, this is a lot of fun. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Is it fair to say that given all the offseason moves that have happened, and you talked about the new guys coming in, has Jason in some ways eliminated any excuses for this team to, you know, to not look back and to also to be better?
You know, there's always going to be excuses. We're professional complainers. you know what? I think that he's done a lot of communicating with us in terms of seeing, you know, our side of things and trying to figure out what, you know, management can do, coaches can do to make our relationship, you know, mend better. And they've done a wonderful job. I think that's one of the things that, you know, I feel more confident now than I have ever been. I think there's that open line of communication you know, you feel like you can, if you have something that's bothering you, you get it off your chest. If you think that we need to change something around the room, whatever it may be. And, you know, Phil's been great for the last few weeks just with us and having our input, seeing what we think. And so I think it's sort of a bit of a change for us, and it's a good one. I think that's how it needs to be. You look at the teams that are successful year after year. It's that open line. It's that, you know, player coach, you know, one relationship instead of, you know, battling with them. And it's been a good start so far. I just want to continue it. Obviously you're not going to agree on everything, but, you know, as I said, I think, we're taking a lot of right steps and, you know, just the start of camp, being ready to go on the ice tomorrow, putting a good workout, competing. I think that's how you start, you know.
When did you develop a sense of humor?
Oh, I've had it. I just don't have one with you guys.
But you seem upbeat. I mean, yeah. This is, you're loose, yeah. You're engaged, yeah. You're...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it was a long summer. There's a lot to process, you know, there's a lot to think about. I reflect on. I'm just excited. I mean, you've been waiting for the season for a while. You know, this is the first step, medicals and doing this sort of thing. But it's just good to be here. Like, I think there's a lot of good energy in the building. I think guys are excited about the year. You know, all the way trickling down the trainers. And I think that everyone knows how, you know, we can be a much better team, much different team. And like I said, it's not going to happen overnight. But, you know, I think we see our potential as a group and, you know, there's plenty of steps that we have to take for it to, you know, come to conclusion. But, you know, this is step one and just getting through camp, having a good camp and coming together as a group and, you know, just being excited to be back playing hockey.
Jack, how much does Dallas change everything from the attention the team gets to the style the team is going to play, having that guy having that much attention already?
Well, it's great. You know, obviously we pick up a franchise defenseman and a really good kid, a really good player. And, you know, we're super lucky to have him. I think it was, you know, a huge point of you know, this organization's offseason where I think with, you know, so much negativity around the group last year, and rightfully so, we had a tough season. But I think, you know, with the draft lottery, winning it, being able to select a player of his caliber and adding him to our group, I think it's just, it's something that I think the city, as fans, needed a bit to look at it and bring that excitement back again. I think it's great. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good young players. Just, you know, seeing a little bit of the prospects games and following it a little bit, it seems like there's a lot of really, really good young players and you know, Rasmus included in the group. He's going to be really good, and we're lucky to have him. So I think it was good for our city and our team, our organization, in terms of the excitement and building it back up again, because obviously we had a bit of a letdown last year, and you know, our fans have stuck by us for a while. So it's good that they're excited. Well, it seems like they're excited again for another season. I know I am, and you know, hopefully it's a good one.
Jack, you talked about the negativity from last year's season. I mean, considering how last year ended, do you kind of feel like that made it necessary for this team to have the roster overhaul that it had over the last couple?
Well, I think it was sort of inevitable with you know, the way things went last year. New changes were going to be made. You know, there was a lot of you know, there's a lot of negative and a lot of bad, and I think we've put that behind us at this point. Last year's last year. I think that the guys in the room now are excited about the opportunity that we have.
Jack, today Robin Leonard came out with a first-person story in The Athletic about his struggles at the end of last season. Have you reached out to him at any point in the last few months, and what was your reaction to
that? Yeah, I had spoke to Lenny. Obviously, you know, towards the end of last season, you know, he was going through some personal stuff, and I think as a group we kind of just gave him his space and allowed him to address that. I had spoke with him a few times this summer, actually, and you know, he reached out to me at whenever, you know, he felt like it was the right time, and you know, I spoke with him on the phone for a little bit, just talking to him. And you know, it's really good to see that he's doing well, that he's on a better path. He, you know, obviously we had a personal conversation and we talked about a lot of things, but you know, it's nice to see it. Obviously, you know, he's a really good guy and he was a good teammate to us, and you know, it's never good to see you know, somebody you care about going through that stuff, but you know, I'm happy to see him get another opportunity, and it's great to see that he's worked things out, and I wish him all the best.
Jack, beyond Rasmus coming in, how critical is it in your mind that other young first or second year players force the issue, create spots, make this team younger, faster, more effective?
Well, I think it's great. Even just skating the last few weeks with the guys, there's been a lot of us in early, which I think has been great. We've been skating together for a while, and I think that the depth and the competition within spots on the roster is higher than it's been in the last few years, which is great. I mean, you're seeing some of the young guys come in that, you know, whether they played in the prospect tournament or not, there's a lot of skill, you know, a lot of really good young players that have been brought in the organization, and I think they're going to push people for spots, and I think there's going to be a lot of competition within the team, which is going to, you know, in turn benefit everybody. So, you know, I think it's a really good situation for us.
There is Jack Eichel. He was not the only player that spoke today.
Oh,
pretty much everybody.
From it. Oh, yeah.
Pretty much everybody. Sherry, Dahlin, Mittelstadt, Pominville. Trying to remember all of them.
Ristolainen,
Botterill, Bogosian, Opozo.
Skinner.
Who didn't speak?
Jeffrey Skinner. That is a good question.
Larson did not speak. Girgensons did not speak.
Scott Wedgwood did not speak.
Scott Wilson did not speak.
Scott Wilson did not speak.
Okay, so it's a pretty even list, actually. He talks about the end there. Young guys pushing, excuse me, pushing for spots. And that's going to be the most interesting part of this, because they're a young team, and wouldn't you finally like to see something from Alex Nylander? Wouldn't that be a welcome surprise if he just showed up and was like, hey, I'm a top six forward. I got the skill to do it, and here I am. I'm going to score 20 goals this year. That's a big if right now.
It's a possibility. From the sounds of it, he put in the work in the offseason. A lot of people are saying he beefed up. He's got some weight on him. At least the Prospects Challenge was saying he looks sizable. He's not afraid to throw his body around a little bit more.
He might have to, because I'm not sure. Like I've said, I've never seen that wow factor in his game. Mittelstadt, you see it. Dahlin, you see it. Eichel, you saw it before he even got here. Nylander, I just never saw it. So, I think it might be a big ask for him to come in and fill that top six role. Who's going to step up, though? It could be him. It could be CJ Smith. One of those guys is getting in. I think Baptiste is probably here on the fourth line, at least. Smith. Olofsson. Asplund. They're looking real good at those prospect games, but I still think it's way too early for those guys.
What about a guy like Sean Malone?
Sean Malone, maybe, although he reads more like a bottom six guy to me. But yeah, he could make the team. How many of those young guys end up making the team? Because generally what ends up happening is we have this conversation when we go into training camp. And then usually what ends up happening is those guys don't make the team. Any of them. Now, maybe that was just those picks by Tim Murray were just not that good. Justin Bailey, Baptiste for a few years, Fashing. Maybe those guys were just not good enough to ever do it. And it was because who picked them and where they were picked and the prospects they were. But they're going to need at some point here those secondary prospects. Not the Eichels, not the Reinhardts, not the Dahlins. They're going to need that secondary wave to step up and fill out the depth that they need on this roster, scoring and on the blue line. And Gouley, secondary guy, second round pick. He looks like he could do that. Casey Nelson, I think, could do that.
Olofsson was a seventh, was he not?
Olofsson was a seventh. Can he end up taking that jump?
Yeah.
He's got the shot to do it. I don't know what else he's got in his game that could get him to the NHL level, but maybe his shot will be enough. Can he make that jump? Can Asplund make that jump? Nylander is going to have to make that jump. Someone's going to have to do it. And the last wave, the last regime's wave, you didn't really get anybody. Now, Bailey's still here, and Baptiste's still here, but I wouldn't consider them prospects anymore. I think they're just betweeners. They're AHL/NHL guys. And I'm not sure you're ever going to see more out of them. So which one of those prospects can step up? Because I think you need one of them. I didn't even mention Tage Thompson. I think he's probably the most likely guy to do it. He's the main piece of that O'Reilly trade. He played games for the Blues last year, which was a good team. Just missed the playoffs, I think, on the last day of the season. He put up some goals. A few. So I think he's probably the most likely guy to do it if anybody's going to. 803-0550 is the phone number. We will talk a little bit about tonight's Baltimore-Cincinnati game and the fantasy end of it. If you've got any fantasy questions for tonight or into Sunday, feel free. Call in 803-0550. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Kyle Powell on WGR.
You look around 31 teams, I mean, they all want to get off to a good start. It's imperative that you set yourself up for success. But in saying that, we do have a young team. We're going to be faced with some adversity. So I'm really confident our leadership group is going to handle it the right way, and we'll be able to make that adjustment.
That is Phil Housley. If you forgot what his voice sounded like. Man, he could be painful to listen to in the middle of the season. I'm actually optimistic about him as a coach with this defense corps now and this team, but he's not a very enthusiastic talker. Let's say it that way, which is fine. You don't hire coaches to talk at press conferences. They hire them to win games. For the most part. You still have to do the press conferences. You don't want to be Tortorella. And you don't want to be saying absolutely nothing at the same time. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you are on last call here on the Nightcap. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to make a quick comment just about Alex Nylander. So this whole summer I've been on the big opposition of him, you know, include him in a trade, try to get something back out of him with the O'Reilly deal, trying to get Skinner something. But I'm actually pretty hopeful after seeing him in the some of the games in the prospect tournament. He was, at least when I was watching, you notice him on the ice. He was involved in plays. He did look noticeably one of the better talents on the ice. So it definitely gave me a lot of hope for the coming season. Hopefully he can make the team and definitely make a difference.
I mean, at least it is a sign of something. Matt, thanks for the call. Because from what I saw in him in past development camps, past prospect challenges, past preseason games, the few regular season games he's played in, the AHL. I even saw him play a couple times live in the OHL when I used to go down to see McDavid play and he would play against Nylander. None of those times did he ever make me go, wow, look at that, or make me get to the edge of my seat. And I know, like you said, he looked great by all accounts in the Prospects Challenge, especially that game against Pittsburgh. And you want to see it at something at a higher level than just that, because a lot of guys will look good in there. But at least it's something. And yeah, it's a reason to be hopeful that maybe he could come in, have a good camp, have a good preseason, and win a job on this team. Because they do still need some scoring depth, and they need guys that can score, that can skate. And we know he can skate. I don't think he's blazing fast. I think that was a little overrated when he was drafted. He was talked about this as this dynamic, elite skater. I think he's a pretty good skater. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's even Reinhardt O'Reilly level. Those guys are average to below average. But maybe that was overrated a little bit. But he can skate. He's a pretty good skater. I wonder if his success in the league has to be as a finisher and not a playmaker. He has nice hands. But it seemed to me he was having success in these prospect games. And even in his career to this point, by just firing the puck and being a finisher, even being in front of the net a little bit, that can happen. You can change your game when you get to the NHL, like Reinhardt did it. Reinhardt in juniors was not the player he is now. He was not the player that sat in front of the net. I remember him talking about this last year, or maybe it was the year before that. He never, in his entire life, was a guy that consistently sat in front of the net, deflected pucks, caused traffic in front of the net, finished around the net. He never was that. But you know what happened? He got to the NHL, realized, I'm not one of the fastest guys here. I don't really have a great shot compared to those around me. My hands are pretty good, but I wouldn't also say I'm an elite playmaker. So I'm going to have to do something here or else I might not stick. And he changed his game from what it was in juniors. He became the guy that stands in front of the net, deflects the puck, causes traffic, and buries it around the net. And he's made a career out of it so far.
It was the Winter Classic on.
right.
last year. I believe that was in the first time we saw him park himself in the net on a power play, and then the rest was absolute history, and now we're in discussion of...
contracts.
Exactly.
Look up his goal chart from his career. Every single puck he scored, except for a couple, have been from around the net. And hopefully Nylander can do something like that if he has to. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thursday Night Football coming up next. Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals right here on WGR. Kickoff just about a half hour away. Coverage starts next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.